Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm Lisa Anderson. Let me give you a little hint at what is coming up later. But first off, I do want to tell you one thing, and that is we have a survey that we need you to take. We would love your feedback about how to make this show better, as if it could even be better. No, I'm serious. No, it could. We believe it. We're just confident. We're a confident show, people. But no, we do know that we could improve. And so we want you to hop over to boundless.org and click on the link for our Boundless Show survey. Okay, y'all, if you're listening on the radio, you need to go to boundless.org/radio. You'll find it right up at the top there. But go ahead and take the survey. Give us all your feedback. If you're an Uber fan or if you just started listening, whatever, we need to hear from you because your opinions may be incorporated in future changes to the show. I'm just saying. But don't say I need to like exit as the host. That would be super rude. I'm just being honest. Okay. On to the show. Later on for our inbox, we have the fabulous Danny Huerta here to answer a question about discrimination online. And by online, I mean online profiles. Like if you put yourself out there, whether it's your race, whether it's something about yourself and you feel like you're being just slighted as a result of that, what do you do? Is that just natural selection or what? Okay, so he's going to weigh in on that. Then for our culture segment, we have the economist Joe Price here. He is from Brigham Young University. He has done a ton of work on the whole idea of where have all the men gone. I don't know. You tell me. Whatever. He has apparently some insight on it. He's going to break down the numbers for those of us that have liberal arts degrees. So that's super awesome. And give us some great, solid advice as to what we can do about this as a culture. So loved talking to him. And I'm just going to be honest. I talked to him a little bit about like Nacho Libre and the Mormon Pride and Prejudice. I'm just putting it out there. That's a fun movie, people. I'm just telling you. Okay. Now, on to our roundtable. Also a fun topic with fun ladies. We have Serena, Erica, and Kelly here. Hey, ladies.
Hey. Hi.
Great to have you. We are here to talk about, I'm going to reference an article here. This is out of the HuffPost, The Radical Power of American Single Women. Does this even sound like a Christian topic, people? Can we even talk
well,
about powerful
Christians
single
don't
women?
Talk about radical things, right?
Or power or single or women. All in the same phrase.
Yes.
Radical. David Platt talked about radical.
Sounds great.
That's true.
I know. Okay, so we've got fabulous ladies here, all of whom are in the working world, different stages of life. Mm-hmm. Kelly Deer is married with kidlins.
I am. Married a long time, 25 years.
Awesome.
But I'm not really that old, so don't think of me as an old lady.
I know, you're not.
You don't look anything.
Aww, I like these girls.
She's a blondie sitting here at the table. And then we have Serena and Erica, and you guys can weave in a little bit of your own stories as we talk. But sure. I do want to bring, obviously living in the professional world, trying to balance personal lives and relationships and all that kind of stuff, with it. I want to just kick off the conversation because I think there's a lot of presuppositions when we talk about this topic of like, oh, here's where the Boundless Show goes all feminazi on people and gets crazy. And, people are already calling us, whatever. I think it is just a fact, and you guys can probably all attest to this, that there are very successful women, married and single out there, who are smart, who are in the working world, who are in ministries, doing great things, and God is using them with their giftings. And whether or not you are egalitarian or complementarian, we don't need to get all theological about it. The fact is that because of the delay of marriage, talking about single women specifically, we just have women who have truly accelerated in their careers. In part, I mean, many of them, I can't tell you how many single women I hear from who are like, my number one goal in life was to be a stay-at-home mom driving carpool and just homeschooling my kids. And here I am. I am an executive in a corporation because God just put me here. So that is just weird because it's like you would think, you know, the whole idea of can we have it all and, you know, what does that look like and how do we get there? So I want to ask you all, just kicking it off, what is your experience when you hear of being an independent woman, whether that involves, you know, taking care of yourself, paying the bills, all that kind of stuff? In fact, this article specifically says the new population of women who are no longer economically, socially, sexually, or reproductively dependent on or defined by the men they marry. Obviously, that's a secular context coming out of that article. But what is your experience with independence and how did it defy maybe your mother's experience and or any stereotypes that you've had growing up. Did you follow the trajectory you thought you would, or did you find yourself defying what others expected of you?
I mean, I would probably, this is Erica. I'm 30 and single, not dating either. So about as single as they come, Lisa. I mean, I feel you.
No, not as single as I am. So whatever.
You have been there a little bit longer.
Single and ready to mingle. All right.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I've definitely surpassed what my mom's experience was, which was married by 26 and baby number one on the way within a few months. I think about that. I'm like, man, I would have like a 4-year-old right now. And that seems super weird. Mm-hmm. But, definitely not where I thought I would be at this point in my life. Like when you're like 16, you think about, man, 30. I'm going to have been married like 10 years. We're going to have like 4 kids. We're going to live in this beautiful house. And I'm like, 2 dogs and a rabbit or like something like that, you know, like, I don't know. But that's not to say like, I'm discontent with where I'm at. Like, I totally trust that this has been the Lord's journey for me, albeit maybe there are some contributing factors like the delayed marriage and the adolescence we talk a lot about. But I think for me, it's just been a choice of like, you know, like, yeah, marriage is in the back of my mind 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to let that be my driving force for daily decisions or life choices, like, you know, moving away from my parents and the rest of my family and starting my own life.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, I was that woman who didn't really have plans for college. I mean, I did really well in school and things, but it was never my goal to go to college. I wanted to get married out of high school, have kids. I was from a really small town, so that was just what people did. And mm-hmm. that was my mom's experience and my younger sister's experience. So for me, that was just kind of like, that's where I wanted to be. I have a heart for family and marriage. But then the Lord just kind of opened those doors. So went to college, got my bachelor's, no prospects, didn't know what else to do, applied to graduate school, got in. So it just kind of seemed to play out that way for me. And mm-hmm. then after I graduated, I was kind of in that place where I was like, what do I do now? Because this is nothing like what I expected. So mm-hmm. Found myself just throwing myself into, you know, okay, God, I'm just going to do whatever you open the doors for. And mm-hmm. I got to be involved with just working with families and kids and different things through social work. And so it was a passion of mine, but it wasn't in the way that I expected. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was kind of off-putting at first. But now I've come to really appreciate that journey.
Yeah.
Well, my mom was 16 when she had me, and so she was super young, and I would say for me, I did things very traditionally. After high school, I went to undergraduate, and after undergraduate, I went to law school, and in between my first and second year of law school, I met my husband, and we got married, so I've been married since I was 23, or just turned 23 years old, and always really passionate about marriage and family. In fact, I spent a lot of my life as a lobbyist working on family causes and child advocacy causes. And so I always felt very strongly like there was this way that things should go for me, that I should make sure that I'm a certain personality, and I should make sure that I'm home every second of the day if my kids are young. And there are all these things that are just what a good Christian woman would do. And I have to tell you, I spent, I would say, more than a decade of my life, Lisa, kind of fighting against what I think the call of God on my life was, of course, to be a wife and to be a mother, since I then became a mom. We adopted our 4 kids a little bit later. But I just thought I was not doing the right thing or not pleasing him if I didn't go by that kind of traditional Christian mm-hmm. script. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I was like constantly, you know, laying it down and, you know, doing all the things I was supposed to do. And yet the more I did that and walked away from some of the other calls God had on my life, the more crazy and wrong-headed things were. And so it took me a really long time to learn that God had other calls on my life as well, in addition to being a wife and a mother, and that was okay. And actually, not that it was just okay, that it was actually good. Mm-hmm. And And so that was pretty liberating, but it took a really, really long time because I think the messages that we sometimes give women just so strongly suggest one particular script mm-hmm. when that's just not always what God has.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, and I know, Serena, you kind of alluded to this a little bit, like what your family expected and your community, what was the norm there? How did you, did any of you have, or have you had over the course of the years, people kind of question either directly or indirectly, are you doing what's best? Are you sure? Or, I mean, even questioning, I feel like sometimes even my femininity is questioned. Mm. Like, you know, I had people, like, I remember mentioning one time, you know, somehow it slipped out that someday I wanted to get married. And they were like, what? I never would have thought that. I thought you were all about your career. And I'm like, what am I projecting that makes people think that? I mean, how have you felt either belittled or kind of challenged in what you've done career-wise? Because I feel like a lot of times women are told, especially single women, well, clearly you're just not trying hard enough. If mm-hmm. you really wanted to be married, you could be married. Yep. And so what are you not doing? You're prioritizing your career too much. You're doing too much. You're coming across as too strong. Or how have you felt culture or family or community kind of try to challenge you in some of your decisions?
I know for me, it's actually been, I felt because... you know, I'm the first in my family to go to school and to get that degree. People have actually been like applauding that. And when I've said, you know, I want to have a family or I want to be married, they're taken aback by that. And like, why? You have the opportunity to mm-hmm. be in the corporate world and make a difference. And that's great. And that's something I definitely want to do. But at the same time, I feel like they do kind of challenge my desire to be a wife and mom. Like, you can't have both. You need mm-hmm. to choose. And you chose this because you already have degrees. So you can't really backtrack. And mm-hmm. that's been something that was really difficult to navigate because it was like, but I have such a heart to be a wife and to be a mom. And those are things that are important to me. So how do you navigate both? And that's definitely been something that's been a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. I think I would say people haven't necessarily belittled me. I think a lot of what you alluded to was just people like question, like if I'm like the question I get constantly is like, so are you like, are you out there? Are you meeting people? Are you doing different things? Like, I'm like, you guys, I'm doing almost all the things. Like, you know, I don't have this illusion that Prince Charming is going to come knock on my door if I just, you know, stay at home long enough. Like, yeah. He's just going to magically find me. That's just not real life.
I always get the, like from my mom in particular, anytime I mention I've joined a Bible study, I hope this isn't an all women's Bible study.
Right.
So it's like, you know, mix it up, Lisa, mix it up.
I think, thankfully, though, my family has always been just, that's never really been a topic. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's because they know me well. And I would say that too about my close friends. Like, the people who truly know me and love me don't belittle the path my life has walked because they know it's been just a journey of trusting the Lord and living out the plans that He's had for me at this point. But I tend to get questions just like, how are you still single? Like, I mean, like, you know, you get this all the time, Lisa, like, just, you're such a great girl. I don't understand how you're single. And I wish I knew some single guys. And it's always from the married people. And that's the thing I think that just boggles me. I'm like, okay, so what does it take to make single guys notice you if it's all the married guys that are like, you're such a great young lady? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's the thing that's really been challenging is when people just make assumptions that you're just sitting at home, like mm-hmm. waiting for your husband to show up. Like if you had a conversation, you'd know that's not real at all.
But. Mm-hmm. Lisa, one of the things I love so much about you and about this show is really the bottom line for all of us as followers of Christ is we are to love Him with our whole heart, soul, mm-hmm. mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And our neighbor as ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so wherever God has us on the journey, whichever way the pressure comes from, whether it's for the woman who wants to be at home, I have to tell you, I have the highest regard for moms that work at home. And I, when my kids were little, I was able to work from home a lot of the time and be home with them as much as I wanted to be. And I have the highest regard for them. But there are certain things about stay-at-home moms, certain strengths and assets they have. I got to tell you, I got none of them. I mean, I'm talking, I have none. Like, I can't cook. I would not want to sew if you, like, paid me a lot of money to do it. Like, I remember one time I got cracked open the Easy Bake Oven with my little girls, and I was like doing it, and it was all I could do because I really wanted to go put a political show on and like talk politics, but I needed to do the Easy Bake Oven. And you get that, you do those things, but it's just not right to say that everyone is designed by God to do the exact same thing and to walk the exact same path. And I so I think for everybody, wherever we're at, you know, 25 years into marriage or single or getting married, to really always keep the main thing, which is Jesus, and how we can love him and how we can serve the hurting people that he's placed in our lives one way or another, and trust him with the rest.
So how do you all think that we as women can, how should we embrace the benefits of power, opportunity, you know, all of that, without using them to belittle or disregard men? I think that's a huge challenge because it seems like in our culture it's so all or nothing. It's either like, ladies, assert your power and show that you can go it alone, or that you need, you know, a non-biblical construct of, you know, even in the HuffPost article, it just talks a lot about, you know, like, my sexuality is my own and my, this is mine and this is my, you know. And we know that biblically, that's, none of us are an island and none of us can survive outside a community and stuff. So, but how do we recognize those gifts in ourselves and use them without, you know, taking it to extremes of having it validate us?
I think the main thing for that, and this is for men or for women, is that we always use the opportunity and the power and the influence that the Lord gives us. We don't get it ourselves. We use it on behalf of those who have no voice. And we use it in alignment with the values that Jesus talked about more than anything else, those things that distinguish us as believers, so that we aren't doing things for ourselves, but we're considering others more highly, and the last will be first. And if we keep that in mind, I think that makes us better stewards, men or women, of whatever influence God's given us.
I don't know that I've ever been in a situation where, like, I feel like I need to, like, you know, wear some kind of badge that's like, I am woman, hear me roar kind of thing. Like, I, you know, it's, I mean, the company I work at specifically, like, just, it's been a really neat environment of just mutual respect between men and women. And there have been past work environments, though, where I didn't realize until I left how suppressed I had been because I was an unmarried, educated, confident young woman. And that was intimidating to a lot of people in that previous environment. So at this point, you know, I'm just such a fan of being yourself. Like, I have a thing on my desk that says, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. And, you know, so just being who the Lord has made me to be, and that is someone who loves people, who enjoys quality time, and is really passionate about making sure a lot of the misconceptions about singles are kind of thrown out the window, which is why I plug the Dating Manifesto on a regular basis, because I'm like, this is the best book ever, you guys. No, because there's just, there's so much out there that I think people are like, you know, you must have chosen this for yourself if you're single at 30, you know. And so I think it's just more about everything you said, Kelly, just owning where the Lord has you in this time, because we know everything's a season, and you don't want to waste it.
Yeah, I really think just plugging into that source. And for me personally, I definitely have to go to the Word a lot and just be like, okay, God, because I have to be reminded of that, because being that servant is the main thing. And that's definitely a piece of my heart. And I think all of us have a piece of that, because that's how Jesus was. And so for me, just remembering that I'm here to serve and to love on other people, like you said, that's all I really want to do, and not to flash that at people, but just to be genuine with people. And that's a piece of that.
It's so liberating, I think. You know, sometimes as Christians, it's like, well, we need to do this and 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 this, and don't forget about this. And and to just go back to what Jesus said, and to love him and to love others. And then as we abide, you know, I know this, these are Bible words, but, you know, it's true, right? As we stay connected, and then we just genuinely do have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness.
Drop all the labels. It's the labels that I think we all get so caught up in. It's like, you know, it's like at the end of the day, strip all the labels away and we're all, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord.
And we don't have to pretend. And another thing I love about you, Lisa, you know, we don't have to pretend we're perfect. Like, nothing could be worse. I feel like nothing could be worse for our witness for the Lord than pretending that we're perfect and we have it all together, because we don't, and we aren't. And everyone knows that. So if we don't if that isn't true, and we don't, we're not projecting the truth of that, but we're projecting some other kind of all put together thing, then nobody wants what we have because they know it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Great conversation, ladies. This is could go in so many different directions, mm-hmm. I feel. Oh, my goodness. So all of you ladies and men, because I know, guys, you're like listening in on this and you're like, yeah, I didn't ask her out because I thought that and whatever, you know, all your own stuff. go over to the blog and comment and let us know what you think. What's been your experience with this? Do you feel like this is a cultural shift that has infiltrated the church, and in what way, and how are we all processing this as believers? How are we stepping out self-sacrificially in the spheres that we have and not relying upon education or our careers or our positions or titles to identify us, but truly looking to the Lord. I think that's a good good point to land on. So would love your thoughts. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.